was supposed to be his voice. And when I walked in and I saw that he was non-responsive, I mean, that was obvious, and there was a machine there, I became livid. This is not what he wanted. And I said, we've signed these forms, and, you know, I'm trying to keep my voice down, but he did not want that. And we had signed forms everywhere possible. My brother had put everything in order. We did not have to do a single thing. He had his funeral arrangements made. He had talked to a previous members of his family. He had made peace with all of us. He was checking out. And when I said to her, I'm not surprised, you know, he took more medications than he had access. He was taking them all of his life. So he knew what he could tolerate. So if he took that many medications, he knew what he was doing. That was a conscious effort on his part that he wanted this done. He was angry that he was told that he had cancer and that he was going to die within a short period of time, and he didn't die. And he was mad about that because he was living by himself. This was not his lifestyle. He was a wild kind of guy, and he was contained, and this is not what he wanted. But we were in a situation now where that's what he had. And my brother and I, we didn't know what to do, and he was admitted, and then we had a series of conversations. And I can remember explaining to them in ICU, this is not... I can remember them asking him, you know, when you said, you know, all those times he was combative. He was taking out things. He was, I remember he was trying to take things out of his arm. He wanted this done. And he was mad at himself because he didn't succeed. And he voiced that. Remember, he talked about that. I can't believe I did not succeed in this. And when it was decided that, you know what, he didn't want this. And I can remember when they prepared us, they said, you know, when we take this tube out, it could be ugly. Do you want to be in the room? And we said, yes, we would. And as soon as they did that, he just turned to me and he said, I trusted you. I trusted you to be my advocate that this would not happen, and you failed me. I didn't fail him. The system failed him. That's what he said to me. And to this day, I know that I did everything in my power, but I failed him in the sense that somewhere I didn't tell him that you're supposed to have the note on the refrigerator. I don't see how this note would have done anything. And when we were talking, one of the things that my brother and I talked about last night was the fact that computers, they know everything about us. They know what medications I take. My license says that I'm an organ donor. If they can take my organs and it's on my license, why can't we protect people like my brother and say, you know what, if this is their wish, be able to abide by it? We had all these meetings. And I remember them talking about hospice, and they said, you know what? This is like a perfect storm. You have somebody in the last stages of this disease, but yet they tried to take their life, and we have no place to put them. And that was an unbelievable feeling, because here he was. He tried, and he failed at that point. He failed at that, and he told me he didn't trust me. That was really hard. And as a family, you know, it's real easy, and you can say, you know, how could people do that? But until you've lived it and you've been there and someone has asked you to make sure that their wishes are carried out and the system fails them, that's the part that we have to fix that. We really have to fix that.